Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AOIS21.
It just started with making occasional notes in books, from a recommendation from Clive James. Remember that author I was supposed to do a podcast series on last year, who used to be recently deceased? Then it turned into underlining the passages. The idea was simple and twofold. One, if I made notes in the book about striking passages, it would instantly trigger the memory of the salient points of the passage without me even having to read it again. Two, I can't have the next owners of the book thinking I didn't read the book, can I? Pretty soon I realized that if I was going to stop every time I wanted to observe something to make notes in the margins of books, I would never finish a book. So it turned into marking notable passages with an asterisk and underlining every single word. This pattern has now continued for well over 5 years. Have I underlined every word in every book I've ever read? Of course not. There's the audiobooks, and of course there are also the books in which I decided on a caprice not to underline and or to stop underlining. And yet that makes me nervous. I can't have the next owners of my books thinking I only read the parts that were underlined either, can I? Yet when I'm really reading seriously, intensely, with purpose, perhaps even manically, it becomes a habit. What does it really do for me? I have no idea for sure, but it's like George Costanza said about watching movies at other people's apartments. When I'm passively reading a book, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. When I'm underlining books, I feel like I'm doing something. It's a weird way to say that you feel like you're an active participant in a book when you write in it, but there's something true about that sentiment, at least for me. Suddenly the book is not a flat experience, but exists in three dimensions, as though you can feel the difference in dimensional depth between a page and the mark you leave on it with a pencil. Obviously, all this is insane. I know it's insane, but insane things are generally believed by insane people more often than sane people, and this unfaithful podcaster is nothing if not thoroughly and totally crazy town banana pants. When my parents saw what I was doing to my books, and occasionally to their books, they went apoplectic. Now, in my defense, these are either books from their shelves they haven't read in 50 years, or books from their shelves they haven't read in 50 years. But even so, to them it was vandalism. What kind of nut writes in books? It's defacing books. It makes the books impossible to read. Nobody can read it again. Now, in their defense, never write in books was something they taught me from the earliest age. It was one of Tucker's laws, along with when you're late the lights are against you, no good deed goes unpunished, and never eat yellow snow. But like many notions in families whose orientation is still grounded in assumptions of the 20th century, some notions are endearingly behind the times, because no one will ever read books again. Now understand, they'll read books, at least for a while, probably, but when they spill coffee on it, they won't smudge the ink, they won't smell the glue on the paper, they won't turn the pages, their fingers won't get paper cuts or tiny, unexpected calluses. Books will just be another screen. And before long, written alphabets themselves will be as much a vestigial tale of a bygone era's values and necessities as Rudyard Kipling. Perhaps even emojis, stupid as they are currently, are the alphabet of the future. Every emoji its own word and concept with exact specificity no word can attain, each written or code-programmed word carrying the dynamism of motion pictures. Every word its own movie. I live in Baltimore, and our most famous living artist, John Waters, has a famous quote. If you go home with someone and they have no books, don't fuck them. Well, I somehow have a significant other again, and I can't help but suspect that she likes my bookshelves more than she likes me, the 1,000 volumes sitting on them being an intellectual status symbol the way a cool car is for the less interesting set. We're both nearing 40, and we're probably the last generation who will remember a world where books, rather than e-books, were the dominant mode of intellectual consumption. At least the last generation of Americans. Were we 20 years younger, I wonder if a lot of books would have any more impact on her than a classic convertible. The whole bookish life, the whole life of the mind as it was understood until very recently, now seems an anachronism from 1800. The idea that someone would base a life on it seems ridiculous. The idea that someone would base a life on it that he wasn't paid for, even more so. The idea that someone would base a free podcast on it, the ultimate 21st century mode of entertainment, most ridiculous of all. Who is this podcast for? It's not for the present. Nobody's listening. It's not for me. I'd rather write a novel. And it doesn't seem to be for the future, either.
Copyright 2020, AS21 Media. The AS21 Podcast Network. Your voice, your story, your passion, our mission.